Thank you for tonight, Lord. I just pray you to speak through me tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just pray even just thank you for the confirmation, Lord. Just a couple things spoken already tonight that kind of go in line, even word for word for what I'm going to talk about, Lord. So we just pray, and I ask you to speak through me, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for also your provisions, Lord, and for you coming through, Lord, in different areas, God. So just pray for a blessing for people here tonight, Lord. We bless your holy name tonight, Lord.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So tonight, guys, we are doing another song. Another song. Yeah, it was kind of cool. Actually, when I had lunch with Michael, that was one of the main things we talked about, was like worship and like the Psalms and stuff and all those kind of good things. So we're going to continue in Psalm, but I'm not going to do Psalms 119 tonight. I had a strong leading to go to Psalms 100 tonight. And my main focus is going to be, the main theme, I guess you can say, is really going to be the joy that comes from knowing God. But that's going to color really everything that I say tonight. That's really what's going to be happening. Things we're going to talk about, thanksgiving, worship, and the mercy of God. So I'm going to start off in the passage here, Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So a little background on Psalms before we go into this. As with all the Psalms, remember that they are actually songs. I always like to, clarify that and put that in. This Psalm often has a superscription, a Psalm of Thanksgiving. So this Psalm is representative of the Thanksgiving offering, of a particular kind of offering that was lifted up in the Old Testament. So giving thanks to God, particularly with the whole aspect of giving thanks to God, even when we're not aware of the things that are happening around us. So there's a lot of things that happen to us daily that God actually protects us from that we aren't even necessarily even aware of. So it is even the aspect of giving thanks to God from protecting us from unknown dangers. Now, if you remember in Psalms 119, even the structure of a psalm itself can be a message. Even the way the psalmist puts everything together can be a message. In the case of Psalm 119, the strict order and the repetition of the phrases, like word of God, commandment, precepts, all those different things, all those things reflect how your life is supposed to be ordered from coming from following the commandments of God. There's supposed to be an order that comes from that. Now, when you look at this psalm, guys, I want you to take a look at Psalm 100. Take a little glance at it. It's not a very big psalm. If you were to place 1 and 2 together, is there something you kind of notice reading through the psalm? Let's see if you guys see anything tonight, see anything that kind of stands out. So let's say, because remember, the numbers, they weren't necessarily in there when you actually go back to the actual original script text, So if 1 and 2 were together, and just kind of put those together in your mind, is there anything you notice, like some kind of pattern you notice in that psalm? I'll only give you guys a couple seconds.
Joy.
Yeah, that's a good, there you go. Yes, joy. Is there anything else, though? Is there any kind of particular thing? I'll give you guys a clue. Verse 1 and 2 and 4, there's something similar. But what's in 3 and 5? Okay, I'll just give it to you. Okay, that's okay. So the structure you see what's happening here is Dallas actually got it, like, like half right here. What you see here is joy, and then you have also similar things kind of intertwined there. And then you also have the reason for joy. So basically, one and two, you have joy, then reason for joy, and then you have joy again, and then reason for joy. So it goes joy, reason, joy, reason. That's essentially what happens in the psalm. So verse 1 and 2 talks about a joyful shout, gladness, and singing. So that's joy. Verse 3, you have the reason for joy, because you know the Lord and he is God. He made us and we are his people. So that's the reason for joy. Verse 4, you have thanksgiving, praise, and blessing his name. Again, that's a joyful action. That's something that involves joy. And then finally, you end with verse 5, which is another reason for joy. So the Lord is good, merciful, and he himself is truth, actually. His very person is actually truth. So you have, again, joy, reason is what occurs here. So the main theme for this whole psalm is the joy that comes from knowing God and also knowing his character, because these are all aspects of who he is. So a joyful noise. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. King James Version, most of you probably know the King James Version of this, you know, by heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So this whole phrase, joyful noise unto the Lord, it actually repeats a bit in a psalm. It occurs like a couple times throughout the psalms. And I noticed a few things as I was reading it, that verse, and just, you know, praying about it and just kind of asking the Lord to show me. It's kind of funny, like when you do these messages, like you can sit in front of a computer and then you're trying to sit there and then like you're like, okay, what do I write? You know, and then you have kind of like sometimes, I don't think I'd even use the commentary. I mean, I use one little thing at the very end, like a commentary. But then when you just slow down and just pray and just like, you know, read the scripture and just ask the Lord, okay, Lord, you know, show me some things in this. And then that's when the Lord will begin to like open up some things, you know, it's like, okay, this is some things that you may not even notice in the first, you know, first reading of the verse, you know. So first, notice that it doesn't say just make a joyful noise. But also it says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the emphasis here is the praise is to God. I mean, that may seem kind of obvious, but a lot of times we need to remind ourselves that this praise is to God. And it's not to one another, and it's not to ourselves. So our aim is not necessarily to please one another. It's ultimately to praise and glorify the Lord. I remember there was one thing that Brother Keith, he shared like years ago when he asserted on one of the Wednesday nights or some Sunday morning, I don't know. But he said, we aren't praising you. You know, we're not praising each other, you know, we're not. And he was talking about in reference of like, when you don't feel like worshiping, well, you know, it's not you that we're praising, you know, we're praising the Lord. So this whole aspect of, you know, like, well, I don't feel like worshiping, or, you know, I'm not in the mood or whatever. Well, it's not really about you. And it's not really about each other either. It's ultimately about glorifying God. So even if you're not necessarily in the mood to worship and don't necessarily feel like it, well, the Lord, he's still deserving of our praise regardless, you know, of how we feel and what our situation is. I remember I was talking with someone too, and I've heard this a couple times, so this isn't like a one-time thing. But I've heard this too, where it's like, well, don't some people, don't they just worship just to be heard and just loudly? Don't they just do it just for show, you know? Don't they do it, and they don't do it for the Lord? And well, yes, some people do that, you know, they do it for show. And I've seen that in the past, yes, what we've done. But if they're doing it for show, what does it matter? Like, what does it matter if they're like, let God deal with them and the reasons why they're doing it? Why are you worshiping the Lord?
Right.
So, you know, I've heard that in the past. And I've heard that in the past, so like actually a couple times, where it's like, well, you know, I don't do this because of, you know, because some people, they do it just for show. Well, okay, like, whatever. Like, why are we, again, that goes back to the praising one. Like, why is that? Well, what does it matter what that person's doing and why that person's worshiping? And really, is the person actually, are you reading the person's heart even correctly, you know? So, I mean, yeah, it's nice. So, So yeah, again, why are you worshiping the Lord? Like, what's the reason why you're lifting him up? And other people should not necessarily, that shouldn't be your concern. So number one, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now that's who we're glorifying. We're lifting up him. We're not, I was getting to a technical kind of thing, but I'm not going to get into that. We're not worshiping, we're not praising one another. We're not praising our own selves. We're not praising ourselves either. We're praising the Lord. Second, noise, shout, whatever version you read, all those things imply like a loudness, or more appropriately, not necessarily just a loudness, but also there is a aspect to where it's not the worship and praise and the joyful noise is not necessarily going to be like pretty. It's not necessarily going to be a pretty. It might not necessarily be pretty and like kind of how do I describe it? Reserved, I guess, for like a better word. There was something I ran into in the past, and it's always bugged me. It's always bugged me when I had this conversation, and it's, I'm not trying to throw my conservative Baptist friends under the bus. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus because I love them. Because if it weren't for them to begin with and their ministry, I wouldn't be here speaking to you guys tonight. Mm-hmm. So praise God that they were obedient to the call that God gave them, you know, in whatever fashion that, you know, they're doing it. But there was a conversation I had in the past with the conservative Baptist, and it was like where, like basically what it was weird because like we had a conversation about music and hymns and worshiping the Lord. And some of the people would listen to secular music, you know, and they would listen to secular music that was very like, you know, had a beat and everything. It was very, but when it came to Christian music, they would say, you can't do that with Christian music. So it was like, well, okay, so you're willing to do it with the secular music. Then why are you like, that doesn't make sense. Like, okay, like then you shouldn't either. A, you should either allow like the worship to be lively and the joyful noise in your Christian music too, or B, just don't listen to the secular music, and then just have it where, because then it's conflicting. At least, yeah. Do you guys understand where I'm coming from with that? Am I the only one who's not seeing the contradiction in that thought? You know, that okay, I'm gonna be lively and whatever in my secular music, but then in my worship of God, I'm gonna be reserved. But then I'm gonna be critical if someone is lively in their Christian music. Mm-hmm. Like that didn't make any sense to me. Like either be lively in everything or just completely, you know, it just, you know, I don't get it. But, yeah, but, so yeah, that was always something that kind of, and it's not just them. I mean, that could fall into any other, I mean, people do that even in any other, like kind of, like their worship of God, you know, to where their worship of God is less than their activity and their things in the world, you know. So you can have where someone's at like a game or like a secular concert, and they're willing to like shout and do everything and be, you know, whatever in the secular context. But then when it comes to the worship of God, it's very, you know, like kind of just like okay, you know, you know, it's reserved. You know, like we're willing to go all out in this way, but we're not willing to go out all out in this fashion. You know. What were you gonna say?
In other words, they're raising their voices higher for that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'll repeat what you said so it's on the recording. Just so Brother John said they're raising their voices higher for that. So yeah, I like what you said for that. I like how you phrased that. Yeah, so it's just bizarre, you know. You can even use the excuse, well, that's not my personality type. And again, that goes back to, you know, not raising my voice or not raising, and I admit I'm a pretty reserved person. I think you guys know that I'm pretty reserved. You know, I don't like necessarily going and like you're smiling because you know it's true. you know, I don't like necessarily being like loud all the time or whatever.
Boisterous.
Yes, exactly. But yes, thank you. Yeah, there you go. Using your literary background there. But again, that falls back into, well, what does the Lord deserve? You know, well, what is he called, you have people throughout the scripture to where it's like Solomon raising his hands, you know, someone who's, you know, filled with wisdom, And then you had also David dancing, you know, unashamedly, you know, in the streets, you know, the king of, was he king at that point? He was king at that point. Yeah, yes, he was king at that point. I kind of blipped there for a sec. Yeah, so he was the king of Israel actually dancing in the streets unashamed, you know. So you have this whole thing to where personality type, and even in the role of King David, someone whose actual role is king, you think for him someone to be reserved, you know.
Right.
You know, he didn't even care. He was dancing in the streets and going unashamed, you know. And of course, and obviously there's a balance. I mean, there's always a balance. 1 Corinthians 14:26-40 talks about the need for order in the service. And obviously there is obviously a need for order. Otherwise, it's disorder and chaos. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets all over the place. But we can't use that as a cop-out for, you know, for not praising the Lord. So there's too much order to where it's like completely like stale and it's completely, you know, like dead. But then you have too much chaos to where nothing gets done, you know, and nothing happens. With all these things where there's a balance, personally, I like to say, well, really the balance isn't necessarily, it's not necessarily in the middle or whatever. The balance is the Spirit of God. Really, that's ultimately the balance to where let the Spirit of God be the one who dictates, you know, what occurs and what does not occur or whatever. So aesthetics, the need, obviously, we can't have aesthetics over having a joyful noise. There needs to be that ability for us to be freely have that joyful noise, to be able to worship and lift him up. I remember there was one time, and this is when I was young, my gosh, this is popping to my mind right now. Is this in? I remember when I was doing a trip with my senior class to, and I'm not trying to, you know, puff myself, you know, whatever. But it was just like really cool because I had the freedom to worship, you know, even in being surrounded by like unbelievers. I don't know if I'm able to do that right now. You know, but like I was basically on a Washington D.C. trip. And it was everyone else in the car was an unbeliever. There was no other believers, I think, in the car. And it was like a car full of like seven people or whatever. And it was like kind of like coming up like nighttime. And it was around the time when I Can Only Imagine first came out. I even remember that song. Well, you guys know that song.
You're old.
Yeah. Miss Melissa said I was old. I'm 32, so 2004, it was like 2004 or 2003, so when that came out, so yeah, I was 18 years old.
What was that came out in?
I Can Only Imagine.
Oh yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so I was like, it was 2003, 2004, my senior year of high school, and you know, we were driving in a car. And I just remember, like, the song coming on, because we were going through, like, country areas, like Ohio and stuff. And there was a set of kids, you know, senior class, you know, my journalism class, actually. We're going to Washington, D.C. And I remember the song coming on, and I remember just on my heart, just, you know, I'm just going to worship God, you know, in this car, even though I have all these unbelievers, you know, who don't, you know, whatever. So, I just started worshiping. And I remember one of the girls who I was really ministering to. She was a really, really cool girl. She was going through just some things. And I remember her saying, "You singing with that was just beautiful." And so your worship of the Lord, you know, it'll be a testimony to others too. The reason why I bring that up is because it will be a testimony to other people. And your worship of him may not necessarily be, you know, in the most perfect of places or the most perfect orderly, you know, kind of a thing. So I was like just tired. I remember I was just tired in like a one day trip in the van, you know, and I was just like worshiping God, you know, and I didn't really care. So, third, and this might seem like a contradiction to the other point, but it's not. Third is it's not just a matter of being loud. Your worship. So it's not just a matter of just you like loudly, you know, kind of belting out things or whatever. There is the shouting, But again, remember that this shouting and this noise is unto the Lord. And remember, the basis of this is that the joy comes from knowing Him. So that's the basis of this loudness and shouting. That's where all this is coming from. And I've been services, and I've been in services too, where the focus is just being like loud, you know, just like we're gonna make the instruments loud, we're gonna make the drums loud, we're gonna make, you know, the guitar loud. You know, I was gonna be mean. I was gonna say something mean. I was gonna say we're gonna make everything loud. The person can't sing, but we're gonna make a. I shouldn't be mean up here. But you don't know who I'm talking about, so it doesn't matter. And it's not in this church. It's from some other place. But we're going to make everything loud, and then, you know, then we're going to make you deaf in the worship session, you know. And so sometimes I wonder about that. We have a lot of times like a concert mentality, you know, to where it's like, okay, we're just going to make it loud, and we're just going to make a real heavy beat, and, you know, we're just going to do everything.
Churches that give earplugs out, that's how loud they are.
Oh, actually, well, you told me about that before, where they give actual earplugs, and, you know, and it's, well, like, how can you worship the Lord when you can't even hear?
Exactly.
And it's to the point where you're actually getting, like, headaches, you know. And it's like, I've actually been in situation. I'm sure a lot of you guys have been in, where it's just, like, it's like, I can't hear anything, you know, it was so loud, you know, and I'm getting a headache. You know, there's no actual worship, and like, in that instance, you need to be still before the Lord. In that instance, there's a need to almost slow down and to actually wait and to be like, okay, what is the Lord actually speaking? Instead of just rushing forward and just, you know. What does Jesus care about? You remember what he said? Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. So the aspect of worship is a need to where if you're making a joyful noise unto the Lord, if you're lifting up your hands before the Lord, if you're silently just meditating before him and just, you know, in that silent reverence before God, whatever it is, you have to worship him in spirit and you have to worship him in truth. So there's an aspect of where transparency before him. And before in his spirit, because ultimately his spirit can see exactly where you're at and where and what you're doing. So, verse 2 says to serve the Lord with gladness. For some reason, when I was reading this verse, I just cannot read this verse without thinking of 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver." And I know some of you might be thinking, well, how does that verse connect, you know? But I mean, I just couldn't think of this verse without thinking of that verse. And my thought was that both of those things, both of these verses, whether you're giving or serving the Lord, it needs to be from a cheerful and glad heart. Whatever you do, it needs to come from a heart that's honestly, and not just, you know, fake glad, but honestly, you know, glad to be doing these things, whether you're giving to the Lord or whether you're serving the Lord, whatever it is, it needs to be done out of. Then if it's not done out of that, then what happens? Well, it's done just out of religion. It's just done out of action and just out of your, you know, who does things like that? It was the other son, from the prodigal son. Not the prodigal son, but the other son. He just did things out of just, you know, just like out of motion, you know, out of like, you know, out of motion and ritual. And again, that's a testimony to the lost, to where, yeah, but where you do things out of the Lord, out of gladness, and like, I'm doing these things, you know, because I love the Lord, and there's joy that actually comes from it. Most of the world, a lot of times the people in the world, they have a background in church, you know. Mm-hmm. They have some kind of background, and they have some kind of...
They grew up in church.
Yeah, they have some kind of like... And for them to serve the Lord equals either hypocrisy or equals doing things just out of ritual or doing things out of, you know, like, I'm doing this, but I'm really sad doing this, you know. So for you to serve the Lord and have joy as you're doing it, it is a testimony to them because it doesn't register in their mind that you would actually do it out of joy. Verse 3 says, to know the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Knowing the Lord that He is God, it sounds kind of repetitive. But to know that He is who He says He is and that He will give you joy. And that one, that will give you joy, knowing that the Lord is who He says He is. Faith, and this even goes back in the faith. The whole aspect of Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, so we must believe that He actually is, that he the Lord is actually God, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It is He who made us, this verse as it talks about, not ourselves. So in a whole creationism, evolution debate, in the past there was a clear, line, at least from my understanding, it seems like there was a clear line between, evolution and creationism in terms of the Christian church. But I think now you're seeing more to where a lot of Christians are, a lot of colleges I've heard, even Christian colleges are kind of falling into that whole, okay, well, we actually believe in, evolution in conjunction with, and it's not a matter of like teaching evolution as a way of rebuking it or okay, this is what they believe. No, it's actual a taking on of okay, that we actually believe in evolution, and this is actually what we, that's kind of, that's kind of odd, definitely the sign of the time. So also verse 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Another reason for joy. Something really important I want to pull from this verse. Remember that the Psalms are sung. So a lot of these things you're singing truth, and in song essentially was occurring. So this whole aspect, remember, you're singing, we are His people. A lot of times, guys, we got to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, who we are in that we belong to Jesus. We are in the Father's hand, and we are ultimate. I'm butchering this verse. We are in the hand of Jesus and we are in the Father's hand. I think that's how the verse goes. Oh man, I should have got that verse in there. I gotta refine my Bible memory. But with this verse, you're actually singing, we are His people. You have to actually and when you sing something, that actually sticks in your mind a lot more than just, memory verse. And a lot of times, again, guys, when you're singing hymns or singing some kind of a worship song, again, you're singing spiritual truth, and that's actually embedded into your mind, your thoughts. A lot of times when you guys want to remember something that's not scriptural, you kind of may have a little tune that goes with it. Right. So the scripture is no different. You're actually singing these truths. There's a lot of times where some days you may not feel like His people, and you have to sing and remind yourself that we are His people, we belong to Him by the blood of Christ, and not anything necessarily of ourselves. That's just reality, guys. You have to remind yourself of these truths. So, verse 4 says, to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, be thankful to Him and bless His name. So entering His gates with thanksgiving and entering His courts with praise. This was one of the main things I wanted to talk about tonight. And this is what Anna actually kind of was talking about here. Because how did you phrase it? You phrased it like saying, because there's something you said that hit exactly about Wednesday nights, about how basically the Wednesday nights are...
Wednesday nights are not where we get our everything. Wednesday nights and Sundays are just a reinforcement of what we've already...
Right. So the Wednesday nights.
On our own time.
So the Wednesday nights, what you're saying, the Wednesday nights and the Sunday nights are all essentially what we, they're not our, where we get our full spiritual nutrition.
Right.
But in other words, that it's what we do on the other nights that fulfills, yes, that makes basically this worth what it is,
yes,
tonight, essentially. And that's actually the main thing that the Lord was really impressing on my heart for tonight. And that was the whole issue of our corporate worship, what we have tonight, mm-hmm, is dependent on our individual worship.
Yes.
That's the way that the Lord spoke to me
yes.
about that. You know, is that
exactly.
That our corporate, what we do here tonight, is dependent on what we do on other nights. Even before we enter here, we're already supposed to have we're supposed to be entering His gates with thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and entering His gate, courts of praise. Not, huh? Daily. Even before we come in here, there's supposed. Basically, even as you're coming in, you're supposed to be praising. So that's coming from the outside, coming in here. you're praising the Lord, and you're actually worshiping God, and you're. That shows an aspect where it's daily, and you're doing it on your own time.
Yes.
And it's actually making the worship here. Like fuller, it actually makes it worth, you know. Now that's not obviously you. There's a place for corporate worship too. Obviously,
yes.
there's a place for that. But the main thing too, the main thing I actually that the Lord kind of spoke on my heart too is that sometimes we're trying to have something here that's actually supposed to start at home.
That's right, exactly.
That's actually supposed to. We're actually trying to do something here, and trying to have some kind of fulfillment here. That actually was supposed to start when we're on our own time, on our own, you know, worship time, whether it's night, morning, whatever, Monday, Tuesday. It was supposed to start back then.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was the main. That was the main thing. That's why when you said that, Masana, I was like, kind of those are the things that kind of was reflected in my heart for tonight for you guys. We are living in an unthankful generation. Even in the church, we are unthankful. What does it say in 2 Timothy? One of the things of the signs of the end and stuff, it says, 2 Timothy 3:2 says that one of the traits is them being ungrateful. Mm-hmm. Being ungrateful, that there will be a generation that rise up that we don't give thanks. You know, we just are, we think we're deserving of everything. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. We're actually coming up to the end. I actually wasn't really planning to be very long tonight, you know. Verse 5, the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, the goodness of the Lord. God is good. When is He good?
All
the time. You know, you guys know that. God is not dead, right? You know from that, right? God is not dead. I have to talk about guys not dead. But you guys already know, I think, how I feel about that. But it's an okay movie. I'm not sure. But God is good all the time. You know, so even when we can't see it, God is good. He is good to us. And it's not just a matter of just the good things He does for us. He does a lot of good things for us. But also His very character, He is good. He's the only one who actually is good. He's good to us even when we He should not probably be good to us. He's good to us when He should not really be good.
Yeah.
That's one thing I remember telling Tommy, I think he even passed the mic this. The Lord is interesting how the Lord can chasten you. Let's say you do something you shouldn't do, and He chastens you, but also even in that chastening He shows His goodness So that's a very kind of, you know, interesting just kind of thing I've noticed even in my spiritual walk. The mercy of the Lord, the mercy of God, again, even when we don't deserve these things, like God is still good to us. He's still merciful to us. And people are not merciful at all, you know, but the Lord, He is merciful. And His truth endures to all generations. So even just thinking about the one thing I even just lean from that is just the aspect of I don't want to dwell too much on it, but just the fact that, remember, even during the time of Jesus, there were actually like 30 other people that were claiming to be Messiah. I don't know if you remember, around the time of Jesus.
And three right now, presently.
Yeah, three right now, presently. Oh, well, there you go.
Really?
Yeah, three right now, presently.
Yes.
There's probably more that we don't even really know we're unknowns, you know. But during the time of Jesus, there was like 30 other. And there's only one that remains to today, and that's Jesus Himself, you know. So the whole aspect of His truth enduring and actually standing the test of time. Remember, one of the Pharisees, I believe in Acts, said that, well, you know, just let them continue. And if this is of God, you know, it'll how can we stop it? You know, how can we stop this truth from coming forth? And then he said, if it isn't of God, then it'll just filter out and flutter out, and it'll just be like. And then he mentioned that some of the other people who claim to be messiahs, you know, and how they kind of became nothing, you know. His truth endures forever, and it will continue. So, in conclusion, guys, Thanksgiving, praise should be the natural response of the believer. We have a reason to be joyful. We are saved from our sin. We are saved from ourselves. We're saved from the penalty of hell. We're also saved from the power of sin. We're no longer bound to do the sinful things that our sinful flesh desires. So we have reasons to be thankful and joyful in our worship before God. I remember one preacher, I think it was at my Baptist church, he said, I'm glad it said a joyful noise and not a beautiful noise. So I'm glad because, and that's true, because it's not, you know, because that's what the Lord cares about, spirit and truth. He's not necessarily caring about how good we can sing. Yeah, exactly.
He likes all the voices.
He loves all the voices, whether they're in tone or not. So, in tone or not. So,
just singing that heart out for him.
Yes, exactly. Also, ending with verse 3, just knowing that the Lord, He is God, and is He who made us, and that we ourselves, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He made us, not just creation, but He also made us His children by His blood. So He made us His people by the very sacrifice of His Son. So again, not just us, Him creating us, but also making us His people. So I just want to emphasize that. And also, He is God and we are not. So He does things that we cannot understand. You know, He does things that if we would be able to understand them, then we'd be God. But we're not God, you know. So He does things that are completely like does things. I was even just thinking about the whole, you know, like this job thing I got, you know, that just coming. It was a weird thing. I'm not going to give maybe one of these nights because there's a whole span of time that like you can see how God was just working out how that whole thing. And I'm talking as if I already have the job, but it was weird because like the moment. I already gave Josh a whole story of how that all worked out. But there was a moment where I withdrew right from the electrical school. Because I was about to, you guys know, I was about to go into the electrical school. And that would have got me further into debt, actually. And thankfully, I had, a couple people come and just be like, hey, you know, I know you're kind of concerned right now, but, you know, God's going to. And the moment I technically withdrew, you know, like a week ago, I technically withdrew, but the advisor, he was really like, you know, trying to, you know, because you know how it is, the advisor. Mm-hmm. So it was funny, the Friday that the advisor called me up again, and he was saying all these different things, and he was like, and I just had to tell him straight out, listen, withdraw me, okay? Completely get me out of here. I already sent the letter to the school. That should be good enough, you know. And he was pretty, you know, about that, you know. But it was funny, the same exact day I did that, like, I got a call from this publishing company saying, hey, we're wanting you to maybe be one of our editors, you know. And so there's things that we can do. Of course, God calls us to do our part, you know. But at the same time, when we do the part that God calls us to do, like, He's working out things in the background, again, that's completely beyond our power. So, you guys, you can just pray for me for that, you know, in your own time. You know, pray for me for this whole, you know, position that might be opening up. You can pray for me, too. I'm also speaking Saturday at a men's group in the Heights. So I'm going to be speaking in there. That was also a weird kind of thing that kind of happened too. I haven't connected with them in years, you know. And then now the guy calls me up saying, hey, you know, would you like to, you know, come out? I was like, yeah, I'll come, you know, see you guys again. I haven't seen you guys for like forever, but I can end us in prayer for tonight. We can kind of,
yes.
effort forward. So, Father God, we just lift up today, Lord. I just pray, Lord. I thank you for, Lord, I thank you for the synchronization, Lord. Miss Anna speaking tonight, synchronizing with what I was saying tonight, just definitely went in line, Lord. Lord, we worship you, Lord, tonight. Lord, we worship you. We give you thanks, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everyone's voice being in unison. But ultimately, Lord, we're all in unison for you, Lord. So we pray for that. Help our worship to be fuller. Lord, I pray, help us to worship you on our own time, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that we would worship you outside of Wednesday night, outside of Sunday morning. Lord, again, we thank you for all everyone coming together and worshiping together. That's awesome. But the power in that comes from our individual time, Lord.
Yes.
Again, Lord, Lord, help us to not try and do something here that we're supposed to actually be doing at home, Lord. So I pray for that, Lord. I lift that up to you, Father God. Lord, help us to enter your gates with thanksgiving,
yes,
to enter your courts with praise, Lord. So we're already praising you,
yes,
Lord, as we come into your courts, Lord. Help us to walk in that mindset, Lord.
Yes.